So how was everyone's day today? Blessed. Amen. All right. Good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad to hear that. First of all, I want to thank our pastors, Pastor Sarah Utterbach, Pastor Ed Funstein, and Pastor Gregory Carr for the opportunity to stand before you. Amen. I don't count it a light thing, and I'm honored to stand before God's anointed. Amen. And that's you. I had the opportunity on Sunday to be at the Poconos, and the interesting thing is this: God, I can understand what Paul was going through. See, the Apostle Paul. Not that I'm trying to say I'm not an apostle, but I'm just trying to say this: he had a word. God gave him a word because he had a love for the people in Ephesus. So he had a word for them in Ephesus, but it was in Christ, but a word for them in Ephesus. Then he had a love for the people in Corinth. Okay, not trying to say you guys are Corinth, no. But the point is he had a love for them, but then God gave him a message for them. So tonight I have a message for you. It's not the same one in the Poconos. If you want to hear what God said there, it was for them, but it was good. I think it was pretty good. Not blow my own horn, but tonight God's given me a word for this, for us here in Nanuet. Amen. And I think that's so important. Now, I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to keep you long. But let's say this with me. Say, I got this here doing night Bible studies. Say this with me. Say, I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless of what comes my way. God's way is my way. Each day, I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond with love and faith. When the negative issues of life come against me, I'm not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in God's word. I take the time to examine myself according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 to 32. And I am quick to repent if I find anything in my life out of order. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who you are able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that I can ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, do you believe that? Do you receive it? Amen. Then it's yours. Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 and 2. We're going to start off there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the King James. You could read along with yours as well. Amen. Does everyone have a Bible with them tonight? Because this is Wednesday night school of the Bible. Amen. All right, so we're going to learn a little something tonight. Amen. Is that all right? Okay, is everyone there? Let's read. Paul, what's that second word? To be what? Of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is in Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And what's that next word? To be what? To be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, let me read that from the New Living Translation. It says it this way. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from our brother Sosthenes. I am writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his own holy people. He made you holy by the means of Christ Jesus, just as he did for all people everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus their Lord and ours. Amen. Now, in that same chapter, go down to verse 23. Let's look at, pick it up at verse 23. Paul is talking, right? He's talking to the church in Corinth, right? Remember, he's called to be what? An apostle. The saints in Corinth are what? Called to be what? So they're called to be saints. So who's he talking to? He's talking to called folks, right? Christians, right? Now look at verse 23. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, both unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Look at verse 26. Read it with me. "For you do what? For you see your what? Your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are what? But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are," verse 29, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." Now, let me read that in the Voice. It says it this way: "But we tell a different story. We proclaim a crucified Jesus, God's anointed. For the Jews, this is scandalous. For outsiders, this is moronic. But for those of us living out God's call, regardless of our Jewish or Greek heritage," I like to say it this way, "regardless of our black or white heritage, we know the anointed embodies God's dynamic power and God's deep wisdom. You can count on this. God's foolishness will always appear to be wiser than mere human wisdom, and God's weakness will always be stronger than mere human strength." Verse 26, "Look carefully at your call, brothers and sisters." Notice what he said. "Look carefully at your call, brothers and sisters. By human standards, not many of you are deemed to be wise." Now, how many would say amen to that? Okay, don't raise your hand. "Not many were considered powerful. Not many of you come from royalty," right? Right? None of us come from royalty. "But celebrate this. God selected the world's foolish to bring shame upon those who think they are wise. Likewise, he selected the world's weak to bring disgrace upon those who think they are strong. God selected common and cast off, whatever lacks status, so he could invalidate the claims of those who think things are significant. So it makes no sense for any person to boast in God's presence." Amen. Now, tonight, what I want to talk to you about, and this is the assignment and lesson for us here tonight, the purpose of your calling. Okay, so tonight we're going to discover the purpose of your calling. Say that with me. Say, "The purpose of my calling." Now, how many of you had ever heard somebody say this to you? You know, maybe growing up, and I heard it several times. Maybe you did, by a show of hands. How many of you heard somebody make this reference to you? "God has a calling on your life." Raise your hand if you heard that. Okay. If you didn't hear that, that's okay. Put your hand down. Okay. Now, here's the truth of the matter. According to the word of God, we all have a calling on our lives. Let me ask you this. How many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Okay. Raise that hand up high, we'll see. There you go. Good. Okay, now put your hands down. Now, the result of that was God did what? Called. And what did you do? Answer the call. Now, let's look at that word call for tonight for purposes of definition, right? There's two words we're going to look at in the Greek. One word is called kaleo, right? That's, if you're looking at the Strong's, that's 2564. It's derived from the root word kal. In other words, it means to call, right? Or clamor. To call anyone, to invite, to summon, to be called by a name, right? I like what it says here. It also suggests being called to a vocation and a destination, okay? Now, the next word we're going to look at, because it's going to be in these scriptures, but I'm just giving it for a definition for, because there's a lot of definition, but for the purpose of our lesson tonight. The second Greek word is proskeleo. That signifies a call to oneself, to bid to come. Like I just said, right? When we accepted Christ, What happened? God called out, and what did we do? We answered, right? So bid to oneself. God's call to the Gentiles through the gospel, the divine call in entrusting men and women with the preaching of the gospel. So in other words, if you're taking notes, make this note. In your calling, God calls us to himself. You got that? So the number one basic general calling, because all of us are called, but we're called basically generally to this. We're called to him. And that's called salvation, right? So the Bible calls that the high calling. So each and every one of you now tonight has a calling on your life, right? So say that. Say, I have a calling on my life. I am called to be a saint. Now, in this calling, right, in this calling, you will discover God's plans and purpose for your life. Let me break that down. Now, I'm going to use it as an example. Let's use a person, because there's many people we can use in the Bible, but for tonight, let's look at the Apostle Paul, amen? Turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 9. We're talking about the purpose of your calling. Acts chapter 9, and in the beginning of this, we see Paul, right, as he's called Saul, and he was threatening the church, right? He was laying waste to the church, right? But we know what happened when he was on that road to Damascus. What happened? He had a close encounter, right? He had a close encounter of the godly kind, right? And what happened was he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, right? And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why do you do what? Persecute me. And Saul's trying to figure out, what do you mean persecuting you, right? So anyway, he tells him to go to a certain place and it'll be told him what to do, right? So let's pick this up, Acts chapter 9. Let's pick this up at verse 15. Now in verse 15, what happens is God now told Saul to go to a certain place, but now God is talking to one of his servants, right? He's talking to Ananias, right? Not Ananias and Sapphira, another Ananias, right? And he tells Ananias to go to this place, and there's a person there inquire of him named Saul, right? And I'll tell you what to tell him. Now, what did Ananias do? Did he say, yes, Lord, and went right away? What did he say? He said, wait a minute, Lord, you know, we heard some things about, is this the same guy? He said, I want to make sure, is this the same Saul, not the guy that's wasting us? But now let's pick it up at verse 15, right? Because he had a legitimate question, right? But look what the Lord says, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Going back to what we looked at in Corinthians, remember it says God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. That's why we cannot afford to look at a person and look at what they're doing and look at their acts and say, okay, well, I think I know what he's going to do next. No, God sees beyond that, right? So he said, he's what? A chosen vessel to me, right? Now, in that same point, right, turn to Galatians chapter 1, because with the reference of Acts chapter 9, right, look in Galatians chapter 1, because Paul tells a little bit about himself in Galatians, right? Okay, here we are. Galatians chapter 1, and let's pick it up at, where am I at? Okay. Yeah, verse 15, right? Verse 15 and 16. Now, this is Paul, right? And he's talking, right? But he's testifying here. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and what else? By what? Notice what he said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. What did he say? Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. See, here's another thing you need to understand about your calling. See, God, there's a general calling that we all go to. That's salvation. Then there's specific things that God calls us to, right? But notice what Paul said. He said, God called him to do what? Preach to who? The Gentiles, right? So he said, immediately, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. You know what he meant? He said, when God told him to do this, he didn't check it out with his brethren because someone would have talked him out of his calling. And sometimes what happens with some of us, you get talked out of your calling. Okay? But Paul said here, immediately I didn't confer with flesh and blood, right? But let's keep on going, right? So he's talking about this calling, right? He didn't confer with flesh and blood, right? But let me ask you this. From what we just studied here and just looked at, would you say that Paul understood his calling? Yeah, okay. Now, how many of you have been around people who don't know what to do in their lives? They're going from pillar to post. How many of you know people like that, right? How many of you are like that? Don't put your hand up. No, listen. Here's the thing. When you don't know your calling, you'll go from pillar to post. You'll go from moment to moment. And I just want to insert this in here. Who called Paul? God, okay? Now, no man called him, okay? He wasn't looking, and after he received this, he immediately didn't confer with flesh, right? So let's keep on going in this. So here it is. I asked you that question. Have you ever seen somebody who didn't know what to do in their lives, right? And it's sad, right? Because they're going from moment to moment, place to place. I remembered myself, I'm going to use me as an example. I was 22 years old. I was in the Army. My enlistment was about to end, and they wanted me to re-enlist. And I lived where I was located in Germany was a town called Schweinfurt, West Germany. Now, Schweinfurt in the German, in English, means pig city. Schwein is pig, Furt is city, so Schweinfurt, okay? Now, the city didn't look like it was a beautiful city, but that was the name of the place. So here I am in pig city, and I'm about ready to re-enlist, and I didn't know what to do. So I went downtown. I went off the post, went downtown Schweinfurt, sitting on a park bench. And I spent the whole day trying to figure out what's going on in my life. I got to be honest. I said, man, my life is a mess. I was involved in, I'll put it to you this way. In my three-year enlistment, 2.5 of the years of my enlistment, 90% of the time I was high, intoxicated on drugs, alcohol, hashish, you name it. So you can imagine the kind of lifestyle I was. It was a reckless lifestyle. But I asked myself, I said, what's going on in my life? What's happening in my life? And all of a sudden, I heard a voice. Maybe not in, I wasn't born again, so I couldn't say it was my spirit, but I heard a voice say, you're not going to reenlist. You're going to go home, and you're going to go to college. So from that moment, I said, okay, I'm not going to reenlist. So I didn't reenlist, went home. Went to college. As I started my college career, in that first semester, a few weeks after starting college, I met Valerie, right? That's a story in itself, but I met her, right? Now, I'm not going to tell you how I met her, but I met her. No, I won't. But I met her, but more importantly, I met Jesus. See, then when I met Jesus and I encountered Jesus, and I accepted him, I answered the call, then my life started to have some purpose. You follow what I'm saying? See, so that's where our purpose comes from. Our purpose comes from knowing Christ, being in Christ, right? So that's what Paul was saying, okay? Now, let's keep on going on in this story, right? Now, we're still in Galatians, right? Now, go down to verse 18. Verse 16, right? Now, let's read 17. He says, neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, right, and then returned into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So Paul was saying this. He spent 3 years. Remember, he knew he was called, right? God called him. Called him to preach the gospel. He knew who to go to, right? But God said, go into the desert, the Arabian desert, because Arabia is mostly desert. So he was in the desert for how many years? 3 years. This is not chronologically correct, because if you go back to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter, that's the first time we see Saul, right? And then the call, right? But if you go to Acts chapter 13, just make note of this, because we're not going to go there tonight. In Acts chapter 13, he was with all the apostles and the teachers and everybody, remember? And they were worshiping God. And what did God say? Separate me who? Paul and Silas for the work I called them to do. That took 14 years. So we can say it this way. 17 years. It took 17 years before he went to Jerusalem and came before the apostles. But notice, he came before them. So in our calling, here's the thing I want you to see. And I want you to understand. In our calling, because I don't want nobody to run out of here with the wrong idea. Oh, I'm called by God. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. I know what I'm doing. No. Our calling is always in subjection to God's authority. You got that? So that's why Paul appeared to the apostles, and he shared what God gave him. He shared his revelation with them, and he submitted it to them. And they said, man, that sounds good. Man, where did he get that from? I didn't, you know. He was with Jesus. We were with Jesus. This guy wasn't even with him. He knows more about Jesus than we did. Why? Because he knew how, by revelation, right? But now let's get back to this, because we're talking about the calling, right? The purpose for your calling, okay? It's very important. See, in other words, the purpose for your calling, when we understand and start to move in our calling, we'll understand our purpose. Now, how many of you right now can tell me right now by a show of hands, you know what your purpose is in life right now? You know what it is. No question about it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, that's fine. Okay, I saw some hands go up. Okay, a lot of us didn't. That's okay, too. See, but that's part of ants following the call, okay? Now, in our calling, God gives us purpose, but more importantly with the purpose, he's going to give us direction. Turn to Psalm 139. And David is writing this psalm, right? It's a psalm of David. But now look at what he says in verse 13. Look at what he says. Are you there? He says this. He says, he's referring to God. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Okay? I will praise thee, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. So what David was saying, same thing Paul said. God called me from my mother's womb. I got news for you. God called you from your mother's womb. Okay? And part of this calling, it's going to give us purpose. Our purpose, we're going to find out later on in this lesson, our purpose is very important, and that gives us direction. So turn to Psalm. You're still in Psalm? Go to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. Once again, this is a psalm that, and you know, the interesting thing about the psalms is really a song. It's a song book. So really, it's God singing to us, right? Well, we can sing this too, right? It's a song book, right? Are you there? Okay. Verse 8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way, what? That thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes, okay? So in other words, God says he's going to guide you and teach you in the way you should go. So now, as you continue in your calling, as you continue to walk out your calling, right? Here's what happens. As you continue, you're going to develop. You have to develop a relationship and fellowship with God. Amen? Now, I already shared that Paul, through the time, it took him 17 years to get where he had to go, right? To what God called him ultimately to do, right? God uses time to perfect our calling. So don't be discouraged. If God called you to do something, you know, I mean, I'm going to use myself as an example. So I'm not trying to just lord myself. I'm just trying to show you an example. I was in my junior year in college. I was student teaching. I was teaching the class. My supervisor came in, and my supervisor was going to, they evaluate you several times. This is my first evaluation. I'm in a class of fourth, fifth, and sixth graders, because in this school, they did team teaching, right? Some of you educators know what I'm talking about, team teaching. In other words, the teacher would teach all three classes. So I was teaching science and math. I integrated science and math in my lesson plan, gave it to the teacher, and I was showing the kids how, you know, children how in certain times and zones and how you can figure out on the world what time it is. And while I'm going through this lesson, while my supervisor is sitting back there where Maureen and Minister Dolores is, I'm doing this class. All of a sudden, I hear this voice says, I called you to preach my gospel. I have called you to preach. You know what I did? I ignored it. I said, you got to be kidding. In the back of my mind, I said, you got to be kidding. So I kept on going with the lesson. Then the voice came again. It says, I have called you to preach my gospel. Now, it seemed like you ever seen that X-Men movie where the X-Men are doing something, everybody freezes and they're moving around? Well, it seemed like that to me, is that everybody just froze. Everything froze. And God said, so anyway, I did the lesson. Everything's fine. And it kind of blew me away. I said, wait a minute, here it is. I'm getting ready to finish college. You know, I don't want to go, you know, I got to go. Then I got to go tell my wife, you know, I'm barely making my tuition with the college I'm going to. Now I got to go to a Bible school and all of this. But here's what happened. God spoke to me a separate time. He said, and this was in 1984. Shonda was a little girl. 1984, same year. And I just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking with tongues. So this was all new to me, speaking in tongues. So I wasn't really, you know, proficient or anything. I had a tongue, right? And then God gave me the interpretation. And the interpretation said this. He said, I will send you to spirit-filled people. I didn't know what spirit-filled people were, okay? He said, I will teach you. He said, I will equip you, and then I'll send you. That's all he said. Now, that was in 1984. 1985, Valerie's older sister, Cordelia, says, oh, there's a church up in this place, and they got Kenneth Hagin coming, Fred Price, everybody's coming. So, well, where is it? I never knew where Nanuet was, because we're in the Bronx. I don't know Nanuet. But it was Redeeming Love Christian Center. So what did God do? He brought me to spirit-filled people, okay? What else did he do? He taught me, okay? Because people ask me that all the time. They say, man, how do you know all that? It's not me. It's the grace of God. See, with your calling comes a grace, okay? I don't want to get ahead of it. But with your calling comes a grace, okay? Now, do me a favor. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. See, because once when people say, oh, man, I'm called and all this stuff. See, the thing is this. I don't think I ever told anybody that ever. This is my first time, I think, sharing it. I don't know. Right, Val? I don't think I ever said that. Because, see, here's what happens. I've seen too many people, and you've seen them too, that come into a place and start to call themselves names. You know, they want to be, I'm bishop, I'm prophet, I'm this, I'm evangelist, I'm minister, I'm this. And meanwhile, when we need them to do something, you don't see them no more. Okay? So that's part of the lesson too. Stay with me, okay? Now turn to Philippians? Okay, I'm not at Philippians. Okay. Now in your calling, okay, it's not going to be like a, just because you're called and you are called, it doesn't mean, and you kind of experience this, have you not? Life is not a bed of ease, right? Now turn to, you're in Philippians, right? Look at verse 11. Let's pick it up at verse 11. Paul is chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, okay? Now look what Paul says. Now Paul was called, right? Paul knew his purpose, right? Paul had direction, right? But now look at what he says in verse 11. Let's read. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be what? Content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, here's the key. We always focus on Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, right? But we kind of forgotten about verses 11 and 12. Paul is saying, see, in your calling, it may be hard. In your calling, there may be some challenges. In your calling, there may be some opposition. But in the midst of it, you'll have contentment. That's what he said. In any state I'm in, I learn to be what? Content. Have you ever seen people who are not satisfied in life? They're not happy no matter what you do. If you're on the job, everybody gets a raise. They get upset because they didn't get a raise higher than yours. There's a piece of cake. Everybody gets a piece. Your piece is bigger than mine. They're never content. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is in our calling, there comes that contentment, right? So So now think about this. When you find a person that's like that, now let's say in the church, right? Because now I'm going to hit home. In the church, we got to understand this. The church is a theocracy. Say theocracy, not a democracy. You know the difference between a theocracy and democracy? Okay. No? Okay, I'll explain it. A democracy, who rules? The majority rules. And everybody gets together and they vote somebody and they all move that way. A theocracy, God rules. God and God alone. He appoints people to do certain tasks. Okay? Now, if we don't have time for it, but make a note for yourself. Go to Numbers chapter 16. But don't turn in the lesson, but just make a note of it. In Numbers chapter 16, you see a classic example of people getting together against who God chose. Okay? And I like what it says. Turn there, because I want you to see this. Turn to Numbers. I'll take a little side journey and I'll speed it back up. Numbers chapter 16, because this is going to help somebody. Well, let's put it this way. It's going to save somebody's life. You know, okay, let me see. Where's Numbers? Okay, Numbers in the Old Testament, right? Numbers in the Old Testament, right? I'm just testing you out. There you go. Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay. See, yes, I got this new Bible. Okay, Numbers chapter 16, right? Now there were several accounts, outbreaks of insanity, but I like this one because I'm going to show you something here. And this is going to help you stay away from them. Now, Korah, right? Korah was the son of Izhar and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram. These guys, right? They came against Moses, right? Now, look at what it says in verse 2. Are you there? And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 what? Princes of the assembly, and what else? Famous in the congregation, and what? Men of renown. Okay, here's what I'm trying to say to you, right? You better look out for this. When you get a group of people that's, you know, they don't like what the pastors are doing, okay? Now, pastors don't know I'm saying this, but I'm saying because God says say it. You get a bunch of people together, and, you know, we was thinking, you know, all of us here, you know, like we was thinking, we're not going to touch your authority, but we was thinking, and you know, we even got Sister So-and-so, and you know, she's important in this congregation too, and we was thinking. Okay, well, what happened with that situation? Read the rest of that scenario, okay? But here's what happened. Immediately when Moses heard that, you know what he did? He fell down on his face before God. Because he knew that was rebellion. So watch out for famous people. Watch out for people trying to pull people to people to talk about God's leadership. I'm telling you, God, we are in a theocracy. The church is in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, there's only one king. Okay? We are in a theocracy. In the local church, the ministry gift that God has used and selected to lead in the congregation in the local church is the office of the pastor, not the prophet, not an apostle walking in here, not an evangelist coming in with slick talk. And I'm all those things are important, but do you understand? God has order, okay? And when you want, if you want to keep, and as we're following in our calling, we have to know, first of all, understand and recognize God's authority, amen? And submit to it. Amen? Is that making sense? Okay, now back to our message, okay? Now, where are we at? Okay, we talked about that, right? In other words, there are some people that go around with this. See, I'm trying to let you know that we are in a theocracy, right? But some people think they come to church, and they think the king in the church is Burger King. Now, what's the motto of Burger King? Have it your way. See, that's the world. Burger King. And the world says, have it your way. I got news for you. You go to Burger King, you're not even going to get it your way. But in the kingdom of God, it's not have it your way. It's have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, okay? He's going to have his way. Amen? Everyone got that? Hope I didn't lose nobody on that, okay? Now, here's something that we need to understand. The purpose for your calling is to give you stability in every situation. Remember that confession we said, I stay steady, during what? Unstable times. So God gives us stability in our calling. Amen. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I hope I'm not going too fast for you guys. Am I going too fast? Are you getting it? Is the picture starting to get a little bit clearer? Are you starting to see your calling and your place in your calling? Okay, now, Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 14. Romans chapter 8, 14, it says this, "For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit of God, they are who? The sons of God." Now, that's all of us, right? So all of us are led by the Spirit of God, right? So we're sons of God. Now, let's continue on that. Go to verse 26. Now, I know I'm going through scriptures real quick, but I want to paint a picture here, right? He says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our what? Infirmities." Now, that word infirmities there doesn't mean sickness or disease. It means our inefficiencies, our inabilities. Because all of us, if we were to stand before God, we would fall short in our abilities, okay? So that's what he's talking about there, right? "But the Spirit helps with our inefficiencies. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but what? But the Spirit himself does what? Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered," right? Now, "And he that searches the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God." So even the Holy Ghost, he's going to lead you according to whose will? God's will. Okay, keep that in mind. Look at verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for the good of them that do what?" And what else? "And to those who are what? Called according to what? His purpose." See, all things will work out good for us because we're what? Called according to who? His purpose, not our preference. You got that? See, it's very important that we understand that whatever we're doing in our calling, as you're pursuing your calling, is according to God's purpose, not your preference. And you know, one of the things I see sometimes with people, and I'll share this, Valerie said this one time, and it's true. She says, you know what, in service, because that's where I want to go, your calling will be more and more defined and cleared. It'll get clearer and clearer, but it'll come as you serve. Okay? See, here's what some people are thinking. One day I'm going to come to church. A minister is going to walk in on me. We're going to point to you and say, "You, come here. God has called you to go to Botswana. Go right now." And you're going to get up and run out the door. No, that's not a calling. That's a con, okay? But here's what happens. In our calling, there's a proving ground. There's a proving place. And that comes through service. I like what my wife said one time. She says, you know, when you think about service, some of us think about service like, you know, some of our people do here at the end of Friday nights. They go in and they clean the bathrooms. But you know what? That's service. It's service. Now, my wife says something very important. She says, you know what? Because we used to do that. We used to clean toilets in our church and even in this one. We clean toilets. Matter of fact, I do it now when they back up here. But the point is this. She says, you know what? When you clean the toilet, it don't talk back to you. Toilets don't talk back to you. She said, but people do. So some of you are called right now to clean toilets. Some of you are called to minister to people. But the interesting thing is this. Toilets don't talk back. People do. But here's another thing. A toilet is made out of porcelain, right? And that's very fragile. But people are more fragile than porcelain. You understand? So when we talk about service, you serve where you're at. Okay? It's very important that we understand that. Amen? I don't want us to lose focus of that. Amen? So in our calling, let me just put it back here. In our calling, God gives us grace. He gives us grace to fulfill our calling. Say that. Say, God gives me grace to fulfill my calling. Now, turn over to, turn back to Galatians chapter 1. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 1 and hold your place there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. Look at what, remember Paul said this. He said, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, he called me how? By his grace. Now, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I guess that's the book after Galatians, right? Right after Galatians. Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verses 7 and 8. Chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. And look at what Paul says. He says, whereof I was made a minister according to what? The gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of who? All saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Did you hear what Paul just said? He said, what I was called to do, God graced me to do it. What God calls you to do, church, he's going to grace you to do it. And here's the thing. We're not in competition. See, I remember one time I was teaching and I got it in my spirit. It was here. I heard in my spirit someone say this. I didn't know who it was, but I heard someone say this. I heard someone say this in my spirit. I heard, I can speak better than him. I can teach better than him. But then the answer I gave back to that thought was, but God chose me to sit here, not you. I didn't say it, but here's the point. Some of you can probably preach and teach better than me. But here's the difference. Are you graced to do it? See, and some of you are graced in the areas you are. Some of you have been called by God to be in the medical profession. And there's a grace to go with it. Don't you know the grace to do that is still this? And everybody thinks the ultimate goal is this. Everybody thinks to be called, you got to be at the pulpit. And everybody's like a hunt for the pulpit. No. The key is this. Go where God leads you to go. There's grace to go in every. Say there's grace for every place. So it makes no difference. Some of you may be called by God just to go in. And I remember there's a man. All he does, he asked God to use him. A man who retired, right? Elderly man. He goes into a hospital. And you know what he does? He goes to the neonatal unit where the premature babies are. And he just holds them. And he's praying in the Holy Ghost. And people don't know, but he's praying in the Holy Ghost. And he's holding these babies. Do you see how important that is? You know why it's so important? Because he's doing what God told him to do. So church, when we talk about the grace of God, when we talk about this calling, each and every one of us has a calling. Amen. Now, how many of you heard this phrase? Many are called, few are chosen. How many of you heard that? Now, let me ask you, who said that? Who? Everybody got quiet on that one. Many are called, but few are chosen. There's Jesus. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. I was just trying to test you there, see if you fall asleep on me. Say that. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, if I took the mic and asked everybody, what does that really mean? You know, that's the most, there's several scriptures that are totally misunderstood. This is one of the most misunderstood scriptures. Amen. So turn to Matthew chapter 20 and verse 16. Now, here in chapter 20, Jesus is talking about a parable. So what is a parable? A parable is this, it's a heavenly message in earthly terms. So Jesus, many times when he talked to the people, he was talking to them about the kingdom of God, but he put it in terms that they could understand, right? So in the 20th chapter of Matthew, he's talking about servants, right? Some went out into the field early, some went out later, and some went at the end. And they all got the same wage, right? So now, here's what it is. He sums it all up, right? He says, so the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Say it with me. For many be what? Called, but few chosen. Now, there, you know what he was talking about? What was he talking about? I just said it. Service. See, the ones who came were chosen. Many were called. See, many were called. You got it? Many were called. Some were called in the beginning of the work. Some were called in the middle of the work. Some were called at the end of the work. But you know what happened? All three of those areas, people responded. The ones who responded were the ones he chose. So many are called, but few are chosen. Now turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Once again, Jesus is talking about what? A parable. Okay? This is a parable. He talks about a marriage, right? A marriage feast. And people began to make excuses. So finally what happened was, he said, go to the highway, pull in people, you know, whatever. So one guy shows up to the wedding feast, right, in this parable, but he wasn't properly attired, right? So what happened to him? They kicked him out. But what did Jesus say? Let's look at it. Ready? Verse 14. Okay. Then look at verse 13. Then the king said to the servants, bind him in hand, foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now here in this parable, the key was this. The man came, but he wasn't prepared. You got it? He wasn't prepared. He didn't have on the proper attire. So lack of preparation. So what in these two parables, what Jesus is talking about, one, he's talking about service. You're going to be chosen. See, many are called, but the ones that'll be chosen are those that will serve. And the other ones in that other parable are those that will be prepared. So now let me ask you this. We're talking about our calling, right? Do you want to be? We're all called, right? But now how do we get chosen? In our service and in our preparation. So it makes so I want to encourage you in this. It makes no difference. It makes no difference where you are right now. What's important right now is that you take the opportunity to serve the Lord. And as you serve him, he'll move you into the next place, into the next place, in the next place. Because many are called, but few are chosen, right? Now, in your calling, make yourself available and prepare yourself to serve him, okay? Now, God is the one who will equip you for his purpose, okay? Your provision and my provision is in our calling. Did you ever stop to think about that? Your direction is in your calling. Answer the high calling of God, okay? The purpose, now here's the key. The purpose for your calling and my calling, here's our purpose. Write this down. You can call it your mission statement. The purpose for your calling is to glorify God in this earth by bringing many sons and daughters to the Father through Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of your calling. Does everyone see that? Are there any questions? I'll say it again. Okay, all right, let me say it again. The purpose of your calling is to glorify God in this earth, okay? And how we glorify God? By bringing many sons and daughters to the Father through Jesus Christ. In other words, the gospel, the message of the gospel, living our lives for Christ, bringing people to Christ. That is the purpose of your calling. So if everybody ever want to know what your calling is, your purpose is to glorify God. Say this with me. Say, my purpose is to glorify God in this earth. My purpose is to bring many sons and daughters to the Father through Jesus Christ. That is my calling. Amen. Praise God.